Well, greetings again, everybody, and thank you for tuning in. This is another one of those special Sunday podcasts that we like to record and put out there for your listening pleasure over the weekend, where we introduce to you a mining share, a mining company, a mining executive that maybe you're not familiar with, give you a chance to find out a little more about the company and kind of give you some ideas, perhaps, some shares you might want to take a look at. Today's edition is somebody completely new that I've never had a chance to visit with before, but I find it to be a rather compelling, interesting story. Our guest is Bruce Bragagnolo. He is the chairman of a company called Inca One Gold Corp. Now, that's the company we're going to talk about, but Bruce's background is diverse, and he's very well-versed in the mining industry and the global economy. I guess you might recognize his name as a co-founder not only of Silvermex, but also Timmins Gold. And those are companies, especially if you're up in Canada, you're familiar with those companies. And now he is, like I said, the chairman of Inca One. So it's a real pleasure to get a chance to visit with Bruce. Thank you, Bruce, for taking some time here and spending it here at TFMR.
Yeah, Craig, it's my pleasure.
Let's dive in right away, Bruce, and kind of bring everybody up to speed on what Inca One is, because it's not a mining company per se. We're not, you know, this is not where we're talking ore bodies and properties that you've bought. This is a little different. So please tell everybody what Inca One is.
Yeah, Inca One's a bit different. And you know, the reason I was attracted to become the chairman of Inca One in August was that Inca One runs and owns a toll processing plant in Peru. And the toll processing model is that Inca One buys the ore from the miners who get it to the site, assays it, checks out the metallurgical properties of the ore, pays a discount, and the higher the price of gold, the higher the discount. And then processes it and sells the ore. And recently, we've just added a furnace to the setup. So we produce full doré bars of gold and silver and ship them out. So it's really a cash flow business. And the company has just undergone a restructuring. It restructured $11 million worth of debt. By issuing equity. It only has 57 million shares out, so it's really off to a fresh start, and the ore pads are full now. The plant is operating almost at full capacity, and we're looking forward to some positive cash flow coming in the near future. So it's a different model. It's one that does take advantage of higher gold prices and silver prices as well. And it's designed to be a cash flow generator. So where I come in is what I would like to do is use that cash flow to look for development opportunities in Peru. And we're working very hard right now to identify other toll milling operations, other development assets. We're looking to do something that is accretive for the company. That isn't very dilutive as well. I mean, dilution is something I'm very focused on, and that's why I like the cash flow model of Inca One.
So you have this milling project, it's actually all set up, and you're buying...
It's built, it's running with a great team on the ground, yeah.
Okay, and so then you buy the gold from the producers in Peru, which is a big gold and other metal-producing country. And then it passes through you, and then you process it and sell it.
Right. We buy it from them at a discount. We process it. We sell it.
So you mentioned the discount gets better as the price goes higher. How does that work?
Well, everybody's making more money as the price goes higher, so you can offer a higher discount.
So it seems like it would be a tremendous potential leverage in that if you think prices are going higher, the production from these companies goes up, which then flows through more production to you, which is more throughput at a bigger discount. I mean, the leverage there at first glance seems to be rather compelling.
Yeah, the leverage is very good. The crew on the ground is very experienced and in particular experienced with running this mill. And they're also getting used to the types of ore that come in. So the risk is actually getting reduced as this team gets better and better at identifying the grade and the metallurgy of the ores that are coming in. So, yeah, it's a very very good cash flow model. But we realize we have to build on that model and get some more leverage by using the cash flow in the future to help develop and identify accretive assets.
What's the key, Bruce, to making the company grow and grow and become a big winner in that sense? Is it gold price going higher? Is it developing more deals in Peru to get your hands on more gold? I mean, is it, what would be the key factor that's going to help Inca One going forward?
Well, I think the first key factor is getting to positive cash flow. I think that's going to help us a lot. The ramp up is continuing. The company had some cash flow issues over the last year, which it seems to have resolved. The recent financing that it completed has given the company the money to make sure those ore pads are full all the time. So that's step one, positive cash flow. Then step two is just looking for, looking for some growth. And it depends what form that growth takes. It could be in the form of buying assets, buying properties, things that are going to improve the cash flow. So, I've just been the chairman for a couple of months now, but I already know that the company is looking very hard at finding assets that are going to help build the company. I'm a builder. My forte is growth. So I'm growth that makes sense. So, I know that the board and the management of Inca One is behind that vision as well. I mean, they've already made that known to me. So, I really have high hopes for the company for the future.
How much does a rising gold price impact things? I mean, is the growth prospects of the company dependent upon that, or is that something that you can manage?
No, it's not dependent, but it certainly helps the margins from the operations.
And so what are your thoughts on the gold market at this point and price going forward? We've had a pretty good year so far in 2016. Do you have any, thoughts you'd like to share with us on where you think we're headed?
Sure. I think we've come out of the bad bear market of the last 3.5-4 years, and we're back into a bull market again. It's been a baby bull for the start of the year, but certainly we've bottomed out and are heading higher. This correction has certainly got people looking at their down at their feet rather than up at the sky. But these corrections happen. We're still very close to the 200-day moving average. So overall, I think this correction is probably a good flush out. But come the new year, we're going to see higher gold prices, and I think the next target is the $1,500 range. And at that point, the leverage in the gold companies is huge because they're getting farther and farther away from their cost of production. I mean, that's the beauty of the entire gold sector, the precious metal sector. And that was a bit of a problem, pre-2012, let's say, that the costs of production were going higher. Everybody was trying to figure out how to keep their costs in a manageable range. Everybody has been focused now the last 2 or 3 years on keeping their costs down, and the costs have come down. Let's face it, there's less competition now. When the market's good, everybody wants to raise their rates to compensate for when the market wasn't good. So I think we're going to see stable costs going forward and better margins as the price of gold gets higher.
Yeah. It is a rather volatile time with here we are the Sunday before the U.S. election. It's coming up in just a couple of days. And then we've got Fed policy and these central bankers that are certainly trying to centrally plan, it seems, the entire global economy. And gold is often a reflection on central bank confidence as well. How much do you factor all of that into your thoughts as to where the gold price is headed?
Well, looking at money printing alone, and unfortunately in 2010, 2011, I focused too much on money printing. If you look at the money supply, U.S. money supply, gold should be somewhere around $2,600. But the problem is that money supply didn't hit consumers, didn't hit Main Street. It stayed on Wall Street.
Right.
So what happened was, instead of debasing the U.S. currency, which it should have, it went right into the U.S. markets. And I got to give the Fed credit. They have managed it beautifully. They've managed to keep a strong stock market and a strong U.S. dollar at the same time. They've done a great job of talking up the U.S. dollar without actually raising rates.
Mm-hmm.
So now, though, there's a problem. The U.S. stock market is quite high. Not saying it can't go higher, but it's very high. And the U.S. dollar is also quite high. So now the Fed is stuck. If it doesn't want to raise rates, because Wall Street is telling them if you raise rates, the stock market's going to go down. But if they don't raise rates, people might lose faith in the U.S. dollar. So it's a very interesting situation that the Fed finds itself in right now. But they've done a very good job managing it so far. Who's to say they can't continue to manage it? But in any event, gold is going higher. It just seems like it's time. There's been massive money printing. There's been some wild currency fluctuations caused by low oil prices. If you look at Russia, Venezuela, and if you were a Russian and you had your money in gold, you'd be sitting pretty right now. But yep. If you're a Russian that had their money in rubles in Russia, you're in trouble. And if you're a Russia, not just Russia or Venezuela, which we think is, kind of wild countries anyway. If you look at England, if you're a Russian that bought an apartment in Mayfair, even that money has been devalued. I remember the last time I went to England, on the Canadian dollar, it was 2-1. It was now it's 1.5, 1.6, so it's a big difference. So England is feeling it now. So, you never know. Gold is a real good protection against these currency devaluations, currency fluctuations.
And while I have you on the line, I think that's a great segue to the final question I had for you, because your experience in this industry is vast, and it's great to be able to pick your brain a little bit. In your time at Silvermex and at Timmins Gold, you were able to watch this just massive last run of this bull market peak out back in 2011 and 2012. But now we're beginning a new one. There are the strategies that mining executives often put in place. Many even include hedging as they try to kind of help their cash flow and try to manage their accounting going forward. What can you tell everybody about hedging and how it works and why companies do it and some of the kind of peculiarities of it, though, as you try to manage a hedge book?
Well, I guess Barrick was the big model for hedging. And if you've got a protracted down market, then you want to hedge, because you're going to get lower costs, and you're going to lock in your price at a higher level and then watch it drop. So all you have to do then is replace production, and you've got the cash to do it with. So that worked for Barrick for a number of years until it didn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you get, and this is a real-time decision that we were looking at with Timmins. So then you get a situation where people are saying, well, gold might drop. But you've had, say, 2 years or 1 or 2 years of good prices where none of your shareholders that bought your stock want to see you hedge. They want the exposure to higher gold prices.
Yep.
And, we don't know. You have an idea where prices are going of gold, but, you really don't know until after the fact. But what I did see at the time was prices, like your cost of production, were going up. So if you had hedged back, say, 2010, you'd be stuck with a decent gold price with increasing costs. So your margins would have been squeezed. So, it all looks great in hindsight, but usually hedging is done at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. So, I heard a great, a quote from Sean Boyd at Agnico Eagle where, he said that their philosophy is to sell gold at spot as it's produced. And I think that's the right philosophy. Certainly in a bull market, I think costs will be managed by the companies going forward. I think that the suppliers have realized that they can't take so much advantage of the of the demand to jack up their prices. I mean, the costs of all the consumables in the mining industry have come way down. Labor has come down. Mines are more efficient now because they've had to be. We're the mining sector in general is getting set to take advantage of lower costs than they've been seeing, and higher prices, which means much better margins.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so now, again, you are involved as chairman of Inca One. It can be found on the Toronto Venture Exchange with the symbol IO. It can also be traded in New York with the symbol, well, basically Inca F, I-N-C-A-F. More information can be found at IncaOne.com. That link is here on this podcast page. But as we wrap, Bruce, maybe just go back to the beginning and tell everybody why you think that this is such a great opportunity and why you're associated with it.
Well, as I said, it's a nice, clean company. It's getting a fresh start into a bull market. And I really like the cash flow model of buying the gold from the gold and silver ore from the miners, so you don't have mining risk, and then buying it at a discount and processing it with a mill that's already built and mostly paid for. So I see a lot of future there, a lot of upside, and some good cash flow going forward, which will which will allow the company to look at other opportunities.
Yeah. Well, it sounds exciting to me, and I'm sure a lot of folks listening think that is certainly very intriguing. We invite you all to do your own due diligence and do your own research, but I think you'll find this might be one that you'd want to consider. Bruce, thank you so much for your time. It's been really informative, and it's really been great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.
And everybody out there, thank you for listening. We'll do something like this again soon.